Grace, mercy, and peace to you, for you are God's saints. He has washed you in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. In 1983, my father attended church, and that day he heard a sermon on the topic of preparing for death, how a Christian prepares for death. An hour after my father came home from church, he had a massive heart attack, and he died before the paramedics could even arrive. And even though my dad had a strong faith, it still brought me special comfort to know that God, in his infinite grace, had prepared my father for death by allowing him to hear this final sermon that was on that topic. Death often comes very quickly and without warning, and few will have that same opportunity that God gave to my father. Some will die instantly without any time to repent or to reflect upon their faith. Now, if they have lived their lives by faith in Christ, that won't be a problem. But if they have long ignored their relationship to God, they will be lost forever. The vast majority of people I know these days have a whole lifetime to think about it, but they live in complete denial of death. They're going to die without ever having made use of an entire lifetime that God has given them to prepare for death. Though we hope they don't, my fear is that many will also suffer eternally for this spiritual neglect. For the same reason, some of you will procrastinate spiritually when it comes to preparing for the inevitability of your own death. It really doesn't matter if you're 8 or 18 or 80. Somehow we have all managed to convince ourselves that our death is a long way off, far too far in the future to think about right now. That was not so in earlier times when people lived with the realities of death every day. Infant mortality rates were much higher, and almost every family had lost a child or two at birth. Without antibiotics, disease claimed people much earlier in their lives. Without good nutrition and health habits, lifespans were shorter. And death was not hidden from view because people often died at home. Death seemed more real back then than it does today. I know this all sounds a little morbid, but in the past, Christians used to prepare for death by constantly rehearsing and preparing by proclaiming the gospel to themselves. They prayed for a peaceful death. They asked God for courage and comfort of faith in their final hour. I remember as a young child, we used to be taught this prayer, and I don't know if it's taught to your children these days. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. This I ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Believers in Christ were often more ready than we are to leave this life, because they often visualized the glory and the joy that was waiting for them just beyond the grave. Christians looked at passages like Revelation 7 that describe the church triumphant, where all the saints and angels are gathered around God, his throne, and his Lamb at the center of the celebration, so that they could appreciate what was waiting for them beyond this poor life. Over the years as a pastor, I have been privileged many times to help members that I served prepare for death. And these past weeks, I have ministered to a Christian in our congregation and helped him prepare for eternity. Though his faith was already very firmly centered in Christ prior to any of my visits, I believe that our talks about the next life will make it easier for him when the time comes for him to let go of this life and embrace the unseen realities of heaven. In fact, we've spoken very candidly and openly about death and those things that come after death. In fact, a person without faith would probably be too squeamish to stay in the room and hear what is being discussed so frankly and openly and honestly. So why is death such an unpleasant and avoided subject? Well, contrary to what some will tell you, death goes against nature. Death is not what God intended for us. It only entered the world after Adam sinned. Death is God's punishment for sin. It is unnatural to sever body and soul. Death goes against the life that we were created to live. And death is scary, the Bible says, because Satan holds a certain power over us as he holds us captive to the fear of death throughout our lifetime. Christ, of course, came to end these fears by defeating the devil on the cross. So I'd like to pose this question to you. Is it theologically honest to say that Christians should have no fear of death? First, I'd like to answer that by saying that faith in Christ is intended to do that, to keep Christians from fearing what comes after death. For as Christians, you really have no fear of the final judgment. You need not fear the final judgment, even though I admit it is frightening for the sinner to stand in the presence of a perfect God. And yet that's what saving faith is. It is trust that after this life, when we face God, that we have his friendship, his favor, and his forgiveness. And we have it throughout eternity because of Jesus. When I talk to Christians, what I'm often told is they fear the actual process of dying. Add to this that the devil would so much like to get into your head and tempt you by accusing your conscience in the moment of death, so that you might come to doubt God's love, that you might despair and believe that somehow Christ's sacrifice cannot really cancel your guilt or cleanse your sin. That is why, my friends in Christ, you need to prepare for death by continuously applying the gospel to yourselves. You see, faith must be prepared to look death square in the eye, to cling to the cross, to claim the victory we have in Christ, and to hold fast the hope of eternal life. Faith must be tenacious and cling to these beliefs no matter what, and believe God is for us despite the awful sensations that you might feel as you go through death. Now, also understand that though we Christians prepare for death, also understand that God has built in us a very powerful desire to live. No matter how much you trust in Christ, no matter how much you believe in the joys that God has promised you in the next life, there is a part of you that still clings to this life, that doesn't want to leave the life you know and the loved ones you will leave behind. In fact, sometimes we have such a desire to live, such a tight grip on this life, that God must use suffering to get us to gently loosen our grip on life over time. In Revelation chapter 7, we see those saints who are now in heaven, who have come out of the great tribulation. The great tribulation isn't some millennialistic scheme. It is simply the distress that Christians have long endured while living in the sinful world from the time that Christ ascended in the clouds until that time when he returns in clouds of glory. In fact, Jesus himself said that you would enter the heaven only after great tribulation. My friends, we all live with tribulation because that is the distress and that is the suffering we Christians encounter daily in a world that is hostile to God's people and God's purposes. You know, sometimes people suffer and stumble over why God allows their loved ones to suffer, to linger on for a while before they die. And yet, with eyes of faith, you can see God's wisdom. You can see that it is an act of God's grace when that person is not yet spiritually prepared to die. For if God gives that little extra time on earth, that final opportunity to be saved, then what we see them suffer in this life does not compare to the suffering that they have been spared by their new beliefs in Christ. And even if a person is a believer, even if their hope is fully set on Christ above in heaven, still we must believe that God's timing is perfect when it comes to living or dying. Sometimes Christians do live on for a while longer, but they do that for someone else who needs to prepare for death. That ailing Christian lives on long enough to witness to someone else through the joy that we see exhibited in Christ in them, even in the midst of great suffering and on their way to death. You know, God knows that without suffering, without trials, without tribulation, none of us would ever be ready to leave this life for the next life. God knows that the more you suffer, the more suffering you experience in this life, the more prepared you will be, the more mature in faith, to exchange this life for the next life. And also, family members frequently get their feelings hurt when mom or dad say they're ready to go to heaven. They sometimes think mom and dad are depressed. Something's wrong. It's not necessarily a sign that something is wrong. And it's certainly not a sign that they have rejected you as family. It is simply that as we Christians age and are buffeted by problem after problem, God has prepared us for death. And at some point, we are ready to go to heaven. In fact, it should really comfort you to know that your loved one believes in Jesus and desires to join that eternal chorus that we see in Revelation 7, which sings, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on his throne and to the Lamb." Now, even the bravest and the boldest Christians will sometimes admit that even they fear death a little because of their fear of the unknown. And I understand what they're saying, for none of us has ever experienced death firsthand, and in my opinion, they've never heard it described even secondhand. As difficult as this life can be, at least this life, with all its pain and problem, is familiar. It's something we know. But this is the why Jesus compares death to something we know. He refers to death for the Christian as sleeping in the Lord. Sleeping is not something we fear, and sleeping approximates death. Sleep is not frightening. In fact, it's quite desirable when we're tired. We fall asleep, we wake refreshed. In the same way, you will die, and you will come through death, and you will soon wake in the joyful presence of the Lamb, someone that you know loves you because he died for you. Death and the things that will happen to us after death really aren't unknown to us. Now, it's true that we have never personally experienced them. It's true that death, in a way, is unknown because we've never gone through death with our five senses. But today, on All Saints' Day, we celebrate that God has revealed to us in advance that when we close our eyelids in death, that immediately we will find ourselves in a place of great beauty, joining a heavenly chorus, singing with other saints and angels and archangels to our God and to our Savior, whose blood has washed our robes in his innocence. And so, my friends, though death is but a portal, it is heaven we look forward to, an eternal setting without tears, without fears, and without any distractions from our loyal devotion to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds, that you may always be ready for either Christ's coming or your death in Christ. Amen.